I'm going to take us back a little while today. Now, some of you won't even remember this. If you're probably, how many of you is born in after 1990? If you're born after 1990, stick up your hands. Okay, as if, come on down to the altar, Brother John. We've got a deliverance team of liars, and you're in that group. Oh, yeah. How many are born before 1980?
You know, the old folks up in here. Amen.
Glory to God. I ain't going lower because that's as far as I need to go. Amen. Some of you going to tell off on yourself. Miss Millie back there saying, get on in the 20s. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, there was this commercial a long time ago that came out that a lot of you won't know what it is, and I'm going to explain it to you in just a minute. But I want to title my message today, A Little Dab Will Do You. A little dab's all it takes. Can you show that video up there?
You don't need a haircut, Jim. You need Brill Cream.
Brill Cream?
Sure. Your hair is short enough, but it's a mess.
It sure is.
Brill Cream's so concentrated, just a little dab keeps hair healthy looking and in control all day. Look, I'll put a little dab of Brill Cream here. Nothing here. See? Even with the hair blower, the Brill Cream side doesn't fly around. Without Brill Cream, hair flies around. Terrific.
You're right. With Brill Cream, a little dab will do you.
Amen. How many of you remember that commercial? It came on all the time. A little dab will do you. I've even used that statement here. You know, we're like Brill Cream, a little dab will do you. Some of you think Jesus like that, a little dab will do you. Come on now. But I want to title this, A Little Dab's All It Takes. But I'm going to go in a different direction than what you think. By the way, if you don't know what Brill Cream is, in the 80s, early years, it went from Brill Cream to styling mousse. Amen? Put that mousse. You always had that wet look. Come on, somebody. My hair was so good, I didn't need the wet look. I just needed the hair. Amen? And I had it. I had hair like Hunter's got over here. Man, I had some hair. Do you hear me? Hunter. Hey. Hunter, just be still. Man, that brings back a lot of memories. Woo! It was just there, amen? Thank you, sir. I'll try not to use you next week in my illustrative message. He says, don't worry about it, I won't be back, amen? Now, heaven will make him come back. But we went from Brill Cream to styling mousse. We really went from Brill Cream to hairspray. How many of you remember the 80s hairstyle? Man, it was big. Bigger the better. Come on, somebody. Boy, and I mean, that's why we all got cancer, because you just inhaled all of the hairspray, okay? Come on. I mean, just lay it up thick, man, just, and you couldn't move. I mean, you walk into a door and scrape the paint off of it with your hair. I mean, it was there. And then we got into styling mousse to make it look wet and look good and cool, you know, all that stuff. Praise the Lord, and you still used a lot of it. Took a lot more of that stuff than it did the Brill Cream, right? Well, I am going somewhere with this. But if you have your Bibles and you turn with me to Mark chapter 8, Mark chapter 8, as you're turning there, I'll give you a little bit of intro. In the first 10 verses, Jesus performs a miracle. He feeds the 4,000. Amen? He performs a miracle. In verses 11 and 12, he gets on to the Pharisees because they seek a sign. They always want a sign. Actually, they were seeking a sign because they were trying to trap Jesus into something. That was really their whole goal, was to trap him. But and then Jesus follows up in the next several verses with the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, we've heard a little leaven. Leaven's the whole or lump. Little yeast. Leaven is basically yeast. It makes it blow up. I think I ate a lot of yeast in my early life. I blew up. Come on, somebody. A little leaven. It leavens the whole lump. I'm going to explain to you a little bit about leaven in just a minute. But we want to pick up the story in Mark chapter 8, verse 13. Now, I want to spend some time there, but that's not really the point I'm going to drive home at the end of the message. But I do want you to understand that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Once you put leaven in and you knead the dough, you can't get the leaven back out. It's not a separate entity. It gets integrated into the dough. Okay? Watch this. Now, Jesus is warning the disciples about the leaven of the Pharisees. Matter of fact, some of your Bibles may even say the leaven of the Pharisees and Herod. They got a special kind of leaven. Mark 13 says this, 8:13. And he left them, and getting into the boat again, he departed to the other side. And now the disciples had forgotten to take the bread. Rascals. And they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. It's important. Not just leaven, but the leaven of the Pharisees and leaven of Herod. I'll explain in a minute. This leavening, this yeast, if you will, it gets in the system. It has the ability to connect with one part and distribute itself through the rest of the dough. It takes itself and attaches it to one, and it begins to expand into the other parts of the dough and causes that dough to rise. And he says the Pharisees and Herod, they have this same leaven. It's inveterate. It's a mental or moral corruption. Are you tracking with me? The leaven of the Pharisees and Herod, it's a moral corruption. It looks good on the outside. It smells good. It looks like it's doing what it's supposed to do. But technically, the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod, it is morally wrong. Watch. This leaven firmly establishes a long persistence in something. The leaven never goes away. It's always there when you put it in. When you allow stuff into your life, guess what? You got to be careful, because if you're not, it'll be there permanently. There's some things we got to watch for. And now I want to flip this just a little bit. You put the Holy Spirit in, and if you allow him to grow, he'll be there permanently as well. Okay? But you've got to do that. You've got to allow that. Let's go on. In verse 16, and they reasoned among themselves, the disciples, saying, it is because we have no bread. The disciples thought Jesus was getting on to them because they forgot to bring enough bread. They got back in the boat. If you read the backstory, they were on one side. They went across the little sea. They came back across, and now they're getting to go back across. And they think, well, we're getting hungry. He's mad because we didn't fill the boat full of bread. That's what the disciples are thinking. It's not what's going on. But Jesus, verse 17, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? It's a question. Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Listen to the question. Do you not yet perceive or understand? Do you think the disciples were saved right here? I do. They're just the disciples. They gave up everything to follow him, right? So we could say he's talking to some Christian folks. But he's asking the disciples, and if we read the text correctly, they don't understand what's going on. How many of you know, as a Christian, you still need to get revelation from the Holy Spirit to understand what's going on? You may not spiritually understand what's happening in your life. Because if we don't spiritually understand what happens, we begin to have the leaven of the Pharisees, and we try to figure out a way how to look good but not do good. We try to figure out how to be right, but not be right. That's what he says. This word understand means to join together in the mind. He says, guys, are you not tracking with me? Don't you understand? Is your mind not with me yet? He says, is your heart still hardened? He's talking to the Christians. He's talking to the disciples, those 12 that, at this time, about 11, hanging out with him, doing the work. He says, your heart still hardened? You still don't understand what I'm trying to get across, guys? This is what the word hardened means. It means to harden by covering with a callus. He's basically saying, hey, guys, are you missing it so much that you're still callous by the sin? You're still callous by the leaven of the Pharisees? You're callous by the leaven of Herod, that mentality that you've had that I can't do what I want to do? He just performed a miracle in the first part of the chapter. They think he's talking about something in the natural, and he's far from it. It's not about the bread, guys. It's about you understanding what I can do because I'm God. What is it that you need God to do in your life that you, in the natural, you can't comprehend it because you've been taught through crazy teachings or denominational beliefs that God can't do that anymore. God doesn't do that anymore. You know what that is? That's a leaven from the Pharisees and Herod. Because God can do whatever God wants to do, whenever God wants to do, however he wants to do it. What stops this is we get to reasoning in the natural and we're actually dealing with something in the spiritual. Amen. So you got to be careful when you're walking out this ministry thing called the disciple. You're walking along, you're doing great. You got to watch and be careful that the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod doesn't creep in and harden your heart and callous this thing over that you cannot do what God's called you to do. See, we want to look at this and say, yeah, but, you know, no one else is doing it. What's your point? No one else did what Jesus did either. Come on now. When God calls you, it's not been in my family. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if ministry is really in me. I don't know that God has really put it in me. I'm just not sure. Well, I don't have this. I don't have the training. Well, listen, the Pharisee. That little leaven that someone put in your heart and put in your spirit a long time ago has begun to infect all of you. I remember I told someone one time I was called to preach. They said, I hope not. I'd never preached. If they were to hear me today, they'd say, yeah, I was right. If they heard my first message, they'd say, well, he's pretty good at one area. He didn't take but 5 minutes. As you know, I've grown from that. Amen. I've expanded my territory. Verse 18. He's still like whooping up on these disciples. Having eyes, do you not see? This is the third question. It says, do you not? Let's back up to verse 17. Number one question, do you not perceive or do you not understand? Is your heart hardened? Verse 18, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Do you not remember? You know what happened to the disciples? Within about probably, I'm going to say about an hour. Their mind had got callous to what he had just done. He took the loaves, the 7 loaves, and fed 4,000 people. If you back up a little bit, he fed some 5,000 with a couple of fish. He's God. And he says, do you not remember? Have you already forgotten? I just performed a miracle. And you don't even remember it. Boys, it's not about the bread. If I wanted bread, I could say, bread be here. They're thinking they should have brought it. It's not a potluck, fellas. Wouldn't it be great if we show up and had a dinner with Jesus? We don't have enough. Oh, sure we do. I don't have enough in me. Sure you do. I don't have the talent. Sure you do. I don't have the background. Sure you do. Come on, somebody. I got a question for you. If a little leaven leavens the whole lump, shouldn't faith the size of a mustard seed infiltrate your whole thought process as a Christian? Shouldn't that little size seed, shouldn't it focus on you and attach itself to every part of your life? He says that if you have the faith the size of a grain of mustard, you can say to the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it shall be done. So if we can let a little leaven from Herod and the Pharisees infiltrate our thinking, should we not let the faith that God has given us? He says, you've all been given this measure. Yeah. Problem is, you haven't deposited into your life yet, into your spiritual life. Your understanding hadn't been open. Your eyes hadn't been open. You forget what God has done when you read the Bible. Well, that's some 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 years ago God done all this stuff. Really? Okay. Well, God's still God, isn't he? Does God say, I change not? That's what it says. I'm God and I change not. I'm the same. Okay, let's, I want you to get that in your spirit. Listen. I'm the same. Well, I can't do anything about yesterday. I can do something about today, and I can have faith for tomorrow. Amen. That God's going to do what he says he can do. Now, it may not be what I want to do. That's where we get kind of confused in our theology. God can do what he is going to do. All right, let's move on. Are you still tracking with me? So we got this spiritual callous thing going on with these disciples. Verse 19 says, when I broke the loaves, he's reminding them. When I broke the loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 12. Verse 20, also when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. And he said to them, how is it you do not understand? They can give the correct answers to the questions, but they didn't get it in their spirit. They, on the outside, they had the leaven of the Pharisees. They could quote it to you. They could tell you the stories, but they really didn't believe it. Sounds like a lot of the church today. We can tell you the stories, at least the highlight stories of David and Goliath and Jonah and the whale, or whatever you want to be. If you're theological, it wasn't a fish, whatever. We tell you all these stories about Solomon, King David, but we don't believe it. Our understanding hadn't been open. Our spiritual eyes hadn't been open. Our ears had heard it, but we don't really believe it. We just know it's a good story. You know how I know that to be true? Because predominantly the church is dead. Because predominantly the church is dead. Had the church had clear understanding, we wouldn't be having to put in place laws that says boys are not girls and girls are not boys. Come on, let's just think about this just a second. We wouldn't have to worry about what is marriage and what is not marriage and to whom can get married. Oh! Don't worry, it's the last Sunday of the month. I won't preach this again this year. Verse 21, so he said to them, how is it you do not understand? How is that? Here's the answer. They didn't believe he could do anything. They had the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. They knew the story, but they really didn't believe that he could do it. If they believed he could do it, they wouldn't be worried about the bread. They knew the story of the Red Sea, but if they had remembered the story of the Red Sea and believed the story of the Red Sea, the bread wouldn't have been the problem. Come on now. If they would have remembered the story of going through the wilderness for 40 years and clothes not wearing out and manna being there and water being there, if they would have really believed that, they wouldn't have been worried about the bread. Come on now. He's trying to get them to understand this is deeper than what you see. See, your ministry, what God's called you to do, what God's called you to be, is deeper than what you might see on the surface. You got to understand that God is backing you. You want good backing from your 3M tape to your finances. If you don't have good backing on 3M tape, it comes loose. Right? You ever use those 3M things? You stick it on the wall and it doesn't stick, it falls off. Breaks your frame. Amen. Doesn't have good backing. You go to the finance, you go to the bank, and you want somebody, you want to know that the bank's got your back. You want to know that the bank's got enough money to cover what you asked for when they told you yes. Amen? Do you think God can back what he's called you to do? Are you sure? Do you have understanding of that? It's not a trick question. I'm not going to trap you into something. Do you believe God can back up what he says in his word? I think he can. I think if God says this or this or this, he can do this, this, or this. He can back it up. Amen? Problem is we get calloused in our hearts. And we get calloused in our spirit. And then when we get calloused, nothing can really penetrate in, and we lose our understanding. We lose our spiritual ear. We lose our spiritual eyes. We lose our spiritual understanding. We lose our spiritual memory of what God has done. At best, we say, well, I believe he can. Well, he did it back then, but I'm not sure he can do it now. You know what just happened? Somewhere in your life, you let some leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of Herod. Oh, wait a minute. Did I say that wrong? I meant to say this. You let some leaven of some of your friends that don't believe that God can get in your spirit and talk you out of the things that God said he can do. You got to hanging around those folks because you said a little dab won't hurt me. A little dab will do a lot. Where's my sweetheart? She was, who was back here? Put the salt in the coffee where it was. She thought it was sugar, right? Looked like sugar, didn't it? Yeah. To look at it, you say, really don't smell it, you know. Oh, that's salt. Guarantee it is. I said, here's the sugar, darling. We do sugar in big cups. Come on, somebody. Didn't take much. She didn't put much in that, but it changed the taste of what she was drinking. I'm telling you, church, you got to be careful where you go, who you go with, why you're going, when you get there, what you're doing. You got to be careful because a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. And you know, you're just a lump. Got to be careful. Now, I'm about to get to the end of my message. Honey, you want to come to the piano or whatever we're doing? She don't really like it when I tell her to come to the piano. I don't know. I don't have understanding yet. So the disciples... He asked these five questions, five or six, whatever it was there. And they still didn't believe that he could do because they were set in their ways. Because maybe all they had ever done was heard about it. You know why we only hear about the miracles of God and not experience them ourselves? Because we don't want to spend time with God to get the leaven out that overrides our thoughts. And if we'll get time with God and spend time with Him in prayer and Bible reading and supplication, if we're lamenting over the things that we're bringing to God, if we'll get serious about those things, then God's little leaven, if you will, the faith placed in you will begin to rise up and it'll overseed. It'll callous over the unbelief. It'll callous over your lack of understanding. It will callous over your lack of hearing and understanding and seeing by faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Not the word of somebody you like, not the word of somebody you uphold as being a good person. I've been a good person all of my life, pretty much, but I've gave some terrible advice when I wasn't a Christian. Now, I'm still a good person. Now watch, this is the meat of the message. That was the warm-up. Amen? We're fixing to play ball now. The ball game's not going to be long, though. Amen. I had to set up this first. Watch. Do you read the Bible like I do? Like word for word? Like. I look at a chapter or several chapters and I ask myself, why is that there? You ever do that? Like when you're in college, you're a college, man, you're a great looking college guy now. You read that book and say, what's that for? You do that? Yeah, I did that most all the time when I was in college. You just, why was that there? I began to read this and I read it and I asked myself, why is that right there? Why did we talk about a miracle? Then we talk about the Pharisees to beware of those. Then it tells this story and then we show back up and there's another miracle. Why is that there? Mike, why is it right there? Why should it not have been over in Matthew and some of the other guys, or John and some of the, where? Why does it have to be right there? Let me show you. Verse 22. Your subheading, mine says, a blind man healed at Bethsaida. Bethsaida, ever how you want to say it, you got your own terminology. He was healed. Watch this. Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. Sounds reasonable. He's blind. And they bring this guy to Jesus. Verse 23. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. Just jacked him up. Now, Bryson and I, we had a conversation last week. Was it last week? I'm right in front of you, brother. Put your hand straight up. I'm right here. Now, Bryson, we know Bryson is blind, and he says, I look good, so I know he's got a right mind. But I watched him one day walk in these doors. He didn't touch anything. He walked in. He stopped. And Brad told him, you're at the right place. And he took a left or took a right because he was coming this way and knew right where he was. He's blind. So I asked him this past week. I said, tell me about your... How do blind people do this? How do they navigate? Do you count steps? He said, yes, I do. Sometimes I do. When he said, I don't need people to move stuff around. Come on. He told me a story about sometimes one of the house cleaners or something moved something around, just messed him up. Why? Why did it mess him up? Because he remembers where things were and he counts on it still being the same way. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, if you'll just remember that God can still do what he said he was going to do, because he can do what? Yesterday and today and forever. We don't want to get messed up, and we don't need people to move stuff around on us. We don't need to get calloused. We don't need to get our understanding tainted by the world. We need to know that what God put in place is still in place and in the right place. So the significance is, Jesus took this guy by the hand. Wes, he grabbed him and says, I'm fixing to mess your whole world up. He took him out of town, not down the street, but took him plumb out of town. Here's what the Bible doesn't say, Colt. He doesn't say that Jesus left him there. He never said that he took him to a place and said, good luck. I hope you find your way back. He never says that in Scripture. He says he took him by the hand out of town. What he was doing was getting him out of the normal surroundings. He was getting him out of the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of church doctrine, the leaven of denomination, the leaven that'll kill you, the leaven that keeps you blind, the leaven that keeps you deaf, the leaven that keeps your understanding suppressed, the leaven that keeps your remembering down. He says, I got to get you out of that, because what you've been this way all of your life, you have been sitting blind. All you know is to shake a cup. You hear voices. You shake a cup, and hopefully somebody will provide for your needs. Man, that sounds like the church. If I just show up enough and I attend enough and I serve enough, then somebody will meet my needs. God says, wait a minute, I don't need any of that. When I do what I want to do for you, when I get that out of you, you're going to want to do this. Come on, somebody. Come on. And so Jesus took him out and got him out and jacked his whole world up. He didn't know if he was coming, going, or done went. He could have turned him loose, and he wouldn't know what to do. But Jesus didn't leave him. Woo! I said, Jesus didn't leave him. What did Jesus do for him? We're fixing to find in the scripture. What did he do for him? He did the very thing that he'd been looking for all of his life. He did it, but he did it outside of normal circumstances. He didn't do it at the clinic. He didn't do it down at the eye test station. He didn't do it there. He did it where everything was messed up. Your life may be jacked up. You may be messed up. You don't know where you're going. You don't know why you're here. You may be all of this stuff. And God says, but I'm here. I got you here. Matter of fact, I brought you here. I got you right here because I want to do something great in your life. And this is what he says. And when he had spit in his eyes, well, you just lost Pentecostals right there. You're going to spit on me. Come on, Pentecostals bring plastic for the first two rows. You ain't spitting on nothing on me. I don't want you breathing on me. Well, I'm sorry, little Pharisee, Herodian. See, here's the problem that we have in the church. We'll do most anything to get out of our problem, except you ain't gonna spit on me. You ain't gonna do this, and you ain't gonna do that. No, it's gotta be normal. We gotta do this the right way. Well, you hope you're happy where you're at, because that's where you're gonna stay. Because the leaven has calloused you to the mentality that God can only do this. If you don't do it this way, then it's not God. Well, may I tell you that God can mess it up any way he wants to, and it's still God. Come on. He spit on his eyes and he put his hands on him and he asked him if he saw anything. Don't you think Jesus knew if he saw anything or not? You see anything? already knew the answer. He ain't gonna see much. You see anything? See, God will bring you to a place and then he'll stop and ask, do you see anything? You understand anything? Or you remembered anything? How's this working? Are you getting better? What's the response? And he looked up, the blind man, he looked up and he said, I see men like trees walking. He didn't have clear vision yet, but God had brought it. He was teaching him something. He said, with me, I can do things. With me, you've never seen, but now you can see a little bit. Hang out with me and I can take you further. Hang out with me and I can complete the work that I've already started in you. That's what the scripture says. He'll complete the work if you'll hang out with him. If you'll believe in him and not in them. If you'll believe in him and not in denominational, not in those type things. And I'm all about denomination, don't get me wrong. But I believe from the front cover to the back cover. I don't care what denomination says. If the Bible says it, that God can do it, period. He can do it in this house, he can do it in the next house, or the house down the road, or the house that you don't even like. So he says, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again. Well, that kind of messed me up, Wes. That just messed me up. Wait a minute, Jesus had to pray twice? Think about that. He had to pray twice. He spit on him the first time. You think Jesus' spit wasn't anointed? Sure it was. Prayed for him. What do you see? I see something looks like some trees, but they're men. I really don't. It's kind of fuzzy to me. Oh, let me pray for you again. So he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. Some of you Are you? I need you to pay attention. If you don't get anything out of the message, you need to get this. Some of you, me included, need to let Jesus do it again. You need to let Jesus do it one more time, because where he got you from and you thought you were done, God said, I ain't done with you yet. I'm not completed the work in you. I started something in the back of your eyes where you could, this guy could see. I started attaching the retinas and all this stuff and making focus come. I started all that, but I'm not finished yet. See, he could see kind of vaguely. God may have given you a vision. God may have given you a dream. God may have given you a hope of a relationship or somebody coming back to the Lord. God may have given you that, and you got cloudy somewhere. But I'm telling you, let Jesus touch you again. Let him touch you one more time and see the fruition of what God can do, not what you can do. Because see, if you stop right there, all you have is cloudy vision. All the story you get to talk about is, well, man, that was really good. You know, I couldn't see it all for years, and I beg. Now I can kind of see some shapes. My father-in-law has lost one eye and blind in the other, literally. You walk up to him and he kind of knows where things are in the house. He's been living there 40 years. Can't see a thing. Man, I'd hate to be that way. To have seen and not see. Because I just wonder if he's got a cloudy picture of what God can do. You may have a cloudy picture of what God can do in your life. You may say, I've messed up so much, and it's just a blur, and I want to forget all of that, and I just, it's just horrible. What if God takes what was and turns it into something that he wants it to be, but he had to get you out of a place where you were so he could show you what he wants you to become? And that means starting here. Paul addressed it in Romans 12. Don't be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your. See, it's not about being saved right there. It's about you renewing your mind, as he was trying to get the disciples. Have you lost your memory? Do you not understand? Do you not see what I want to do in your lives, guys? It's not about the bread that you can eat. It's about the bread of life. It's about you taking hold of what I can give you and then you flourishing where I put you. And I'm going to tell you something, church. Some of you need to put your hand in Jesus and say, lead me out of this place. Lead me out of the town that I've called home. Lead me to a place where you want me to be. The reason that this is in the story goes right along with the leaven of the Pharisees. He's saying, don't get so hung up in what you don't see. But if you'll get along with me, you can see. You can remember, you can understand, you can hear the voice of God again. Some of you hadn't heard the voice of God in so long. Maybe no fault of your own. You've drifted from God and you can't hear from God. You don't understand what God wants to do in your life. Today, God wants to take you by the hand and lead you to a place that he already knows what's going to happen. Glory to God. What? He put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Hang on a minute. Whoa! Hallelujah! Had to shout because y'all wasn't doing it. Jesus wants you to see clearly. He's not the hang up. Let me say it again, because they weren't paying attention. Jesus is not the hang up. How you been doing? Jesus is not the hang up. Jesus is not the hang up. Okay, the balcony. Jesus is not the hang up. Yes. Nobody's sitting in the balcony next week. Nobody's sitting in the balcony next week, I bet you. I ain't sitting up there. God wants you to see clearly. 2025 is in your rearview mirror. We got 3.5 days left. God can do whatever he wants to. Should he not return, you should not go by the way of the grave. You need to let Jesus lead you into 2026. He needs to lead you out of a place that you have been stuck in, that you've got so accustomed to, that you've got in the routine of just getting up and coming to church and raising your hand when the preacher says raise your hand, praying when he says pray, bow your heads when we pray, and amen, we're good, and receive my blessing and go to the house. And live where you've always lived. Still live in all this junk that you're living in. Living in all this turmoil in your family, in your life. No peace, no comfort, no joy, no happiness. This time we move past that. Amen? Amen. Let me finish. Just like Jesus. You got to read the last part too, because it's important. What'd he do? Then he sent him away to his house. Not Jesus' house. He sent the man that had trouble back to his house. Wait a minute, we just came from there. Why do we want to go back? Because there's people there that need what you got. There was people at his house that were used to doing for him and carrying him around and leading him around and doing all this, and they need to see what Jesus has done for them, for him. And the only way that can be seen is if you return and preach the gospel. Preach Jesus. Come on, somebody. The church is empty not because nobody wants to come to church. The church is empty because nobody wants to preach Jesus. Nobody wants to preach holiness. Nobody wants to preach cleanliness. Nobody wants to preach come ye out and be separate. Nobody wants to preach that because that's not popular. bad uncomfortable. Jesus is not the problem. It's the leaven of the Pharisees and Herod in the church. You know I love you, right? If this bothers you a little bit, it was for you. If it don't bother you, you're either right where God wants you to be, or you're not saved. Great analogy, isn't it? Great just thoughts there. He sent him away to his house saying, neither go into the town, nor tell anyone in the town. What? You know what he wanted to do, Blade? Pay attention to what I'm fixing to say now. Don't go into the town or tell anybody in the town. Start at your house. Start at your house is what he said. Start at your house and clean out your house and get the mentality of the Pharisees and the leaven of the heads out of your house first. Start right there, because if you're still dealing with this, you won't be able to deal with the people out there, because they got the same spirit that's at your house. They don't understand. They don't hear. They don't see. They don't remember. They don't get it. And until you get your stuff cleaned up, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about seeking God. God, what do you want me to do? I'm all in. I'm all yours. I surrender. What do you want to do, God? When you get that going, guess what God will say? Now you go get somebody and you take them out of town and you show them what I showed you. You do to them what I've done to you. Come on, church. It's too easy. This thing is too easy. It's black and white. So today, hallelujah, today, you can be set free of leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. You can be just set free. Now, I know, because my mama makes some of the best homemade bread you ever put in your mouth. Do you hear me? And I watched my mama put that bread in there and make it, put the yeast on and let it set on the counter at a certain temperature and knead that bread and make it, glory to God, with hot butter. Come on, somebody. Watch me. I've seen my mama hundreds of times, Miss Kathy, hundreds, put yeast in the dough. Not one time have I ever seen her take it out. Because once it gets in, you can't take it out. But Jesus can. Jesus can go in and separate the bone from the marrow. That's what he says. The word is so sharp. It'll just divide right there. Take that out. I don't need that. I don't want that. I don't want that. And when you get, he has performed a spiritual surgery on you and removed that stuff that he didn't want in your life if you let him. Thank you, Lord. So if you're in this house today and you say, whoo, preacher, I've got some leaven in my house, in my house. We ain't talking about your wife. We ain't talking about your husband. We ain't talking about your kids. We ain't talking about your neighbor. We're talking about in your house, in your temple. Right now, Jason, through the whole congregation, everybody just said, I hope he don't ask us to stick up our hands. I hope he don't ask us to stand up if we got leaven in our house, because, man. If you got some things in your life that's holding you back, that God's not okay with, let me do it for you. I want you to stand up real big. I'm standing up here because I got some things God don't want in my life. See, that's the first thing, you letting Jesus take you by the hand. Come on, the blind man didn't have to follow him. He said, I ain't going with you. I don't know where we're going. Come on, somebody. Look, I just believe the Holy Spirit here is doing something right now, right where you are. You just begin to say, Lord, I got some left. know you don't like, and I want you to take it from me right now. Lord, open eyes in this place, Lord. Open spiritual eyes. Open spiritual ears, Lord. Let it happen today, God. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see these hands, Lord, across this building. You see people standing on their feet, Lord. Lord, in recognition, Lord, that they got stuff in their life that you don't approve of. They got some stuff, some leaven, Lord, that is not right. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, you'd begin to show them, Lord. Lord, put your spiritual spit on their eyes that they may see, God, what you want them to see, Lord. Lord, I pray that you pray for them, God. Lord, the God of all gods is praying for you right now. He's praying for you that you may see. He's praying that your ears may be open. He's praying that your understanding will come to you. He's praying for you. He's praying that you will not be sifted by the leaven of the world. He's praying for you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray everything in my life, Lord, that is not okay with you, God. Lord, that I might be okay with, but you're not okay. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would begin to show me. Lord, begin to, Lord, would you help me to release it? Lord, would you help me to turn loose of it? Lord, would you help me to follow you out of town? Will you help me, Lord? Lord, I'm putting all my faith in you because I don't see tomorrow. I don't see it, Lord, but you do. And Lord, my hand's in your hand. My hand's in your hand. I said, my hand's in your hand, Lord. Lead me on, Jesus. Whoo, I think the Holy Ghost is doing some things in this house. Matter of fact, I know he is. Come on, just keep praying right where you are. Just keep asking him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Have your way in every temple that's here today. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, God. Open up our eyes. Open up our understanding. Lord, open up. Open up those things, Lord, that hinder us, that keep us bound in the leaven of the world, the leaven of our lives. Father, I thank you for what you're doing. I just believe God's doing some great things right here. I just believe it. I just believe it. Come on, somebody, pray. I need you to pray. Come on, saints. I need you to pray. I need you to pray in the spirit. If you pray in the spirit, let's get to praying. Pray in the name of Jesus. If you pray in the natural, pray in the natural. Hallelujah. God, do a work in this house. Lord, do a work in temples here. Lord, that are prepared and ready for the service of 2026. Lord, that are ready to go out, Lord. Lord, not as lambs, Lord, but as warriors, Lord. As warriors, Lord. As warriors, Lord, to take back, God, those things, God, that's been stolen. Lord, to unveil the eyes so that the leaven of the world can be seen, God. Father, we thank you. Sometimes I gotta have the Holy Spirit kind of lead me. I just ain't sharp enough to go on by my own, okay? Will you just pray for me just a second? I think the Lord's wanting to do something real quick. I don't know what that is, or I'd tell you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, I need your direction and your guidance. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, what do you want to do? Lord, we don't want to miss a thing you're doing. We don't want to miss one thing, Lord. We don't want to misunderstand. We don't want to have our eyes closed and miss it. We don't want to have our ears closed and not hear it. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Lead us out of town, Lord, today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sharetta, I need you to come up here. We're going to pray. I need a couple of ladies real quick. We're going to pray for Sharetta real quick. Come on up here, darling. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Get a chair right here, guys. Put her in this chair. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pick up the second one, Scotty. Pick up the second one. There you go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Back up half step and sit right down. Amen. How many of you know God's just as much God standing as he is sitting? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I didn't rub my oil off on me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Will you pray with me? Hallelujah. Father, open our eyes to understand and unsee God. Father, I pray for healing in her body. I speak against this Parkinson's in the name of Jesus. Lord, you are a healer then, you're a healer now, and you'll be a healer forever. And so, Lord, we pray right now, Father. Lord, for this Parkinson's to leave her body. Her cognitive skills, her memory, her muscle memory, Lord. We pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. But God's fixing to do something for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, let him see and hear you clearly. it will accomplish what you set it to accomplish. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Out of town this year. Hallelujah. That's what I pray, Jason. The Lord just takes us out of town. Just grabs us and says, it's time for you to go. Time for you to go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to bless you and you can keep worshiping, Carl. Woo! Bring me my baby real quick. Hallelujah. Y'all pray for my baby. She's been sick. Come to Papa. Amen. Will y'all pray with me? Will you stretch your hands this way and pray with me? Father, in the name of Jesus. You know, my little Lucy's been having trouble. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you just take that old sickness and disease and touching my little Lucy. I thank you, Lord, for healing her body in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to bless you even though you've already been blessed. I'm going to bless you as you go. Come on, somebody. Woo! How long are you in town for? 2 weeks. 2 weeks? Amen. Just hang on to him tight when he takes you back out of town. Come on, somebody. He might be the real cause for a revival on Mississippi State University. God knows they don't get excited about the football team. Amen. Can't get excited about the football team, maybe. Maybe they get excited about Jesus. Come on, somebody. Amen. How do you think revival starts? With one person. Woo! Hallelujah. Let me bless you. Father, we pray that your face would shine upon us, that we would find favor with God and with man, that job promotion, raises, prosperity, and increase would come our way, that peace would blanket every rooftop, that when we lay down this afternoon or this evening, that sweet sleep would come to our spiritual souls and our physical bodies. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray, and everyone says, amen. Amen. Love you. No midweek service this week. Get ready. It's just beginning. See you on Sunday. Amen. Hallelujah.